Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I got up at about 7:30 in the morning, and at the same slot machine was the lady I'd seen at about 10 o'clock at night. She was wearing the same outfit.
Oh.
It smelled really, really nice.
Oh, I bet.
Too.
That Atlantic City smell?
I saddled up to the machine right next to it. The smell of luck. Don't know what Mrs. O'Mara was doing, but whatever she was drinking, and I think it involved a little Prosecco during the day, Mrs. O'Mara said to me this morning, as we are having our morning coffee, she said to me, I don't remember coming home last night. His neighborhood, which is right next to my neighborhood, is a little more of a kid-friendly family neighborhood.
Mike, do you still have the kid catcher in your neighborhood?
Child catcher, there we are. Child catcher.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of The Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. Little late. We've been having some technical issues to work through today, and we appreciate your patience because a lot of you hang on this show. We're giving you a show tonight and happy to do that as we count down towards the Christmas holiday. And, you know, a lot of people down here in Southwest Florida are beating feet up north, and so it's kind of mellowed out down here a little bit, but I mean a little bit, and then they're all going to come back after the new year.
Yeah, but I know you hate when they arrive. Is it like a nice holiday respite when they go?
Not enough. There's, you know, we now, I guess if you follow the news, you know that the state of Florida is just filling up every day with people coming down to be down here. So I don't think we're moving into an area where it really doesn't matter. It's just it's busy here now all the time, as it was. It really wasn't a couple of years ago. So it's interesting, a little chilly. But I have become a true Floridian because I was outside today, and to me, the temperature said 64 degrees. Now, if you say that to somebody in Cleveland, they're going to laugh their asses off, and they're going to say to you, well, that's something, you incredible wimp. But to me, I had three layers on. So the people that I used to mock, I am now one of them, where I have acclimated and I am more comfortable in 94-degree weather than I am in 64-degree weather. It is, it's strange. It's weird.
That's
I even
weird.
Saw a picture of my friend, the Colburns, who are up in Vermont, where it's always cold. And I said, oh, my God, that must be horrible. But down here, that's what they call a cold snap when it's when it doesn't get above 70 degrees. That's what it is. We're
you don't
still
find it at
that.
All refreshing when it gets to be a little cool? Because, I mean, you know, you are a Maine guy. You like cold weather at times.
You know, you would think, and in years past, I might say I have, but today it's like all of us, the whole house, my son included. You know, we go outside, it's 62 degrees. You would thought we're in Antarctica the way
there
this
are times,
is,
Mike,
is working.
That's what there are times that's what I've set my thermostat to in the house, 62 degrees.
I know. I know. Well, you like to keep it cold. But I have to say to our good friends Mark and Eve Miller, who had a wonderful social event yesterday afternoon, and I emphasize afternoon. I think we got over there around 2 o'clock, 1:45, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and been the first time that I'd really socialized with Mark since what I call the golfing a-hole incident.
Oh.
And it was really great to see them. Certain people have the gift. They have the gift of putting out an invite and just people showing up. And it was just jam-packed with adults and kids and booze and food, and it was just me hanging out with the 40-something-year-olds, and I was completely comfortable with that.
Did you know a lot of the people that were there?
I never do. I mean, they come and they go. I recognize casually. When you go to a party
faces,
once a year,
that's true.
Difficult to do that. His neighborhood, which is right next to my neighborhood, is a little more of a kid-friendly family neighborhood.
Okay.
My neighborhood right now And I am not, I'm not exaggerating.
Mike, do you still have the kid catcher in your neighborhood?
Child catcher, there we are. Child catcher. It has gone from some older folk to you now take a peek to see if the person walking with the older person is a child, a daughter, a son, a grandchild, or perhaps just, as we saw yesterday, a caregiver.
Oh, yes.
And God love these people. They now stay in their homes a little longer, and it's great. But my street, even within my neighborhood, my street, I have Olden Street and Youngin Street. And I happen to be, even though there are a few kids on this street, not enough to really matter. But there is Olden Street where I don't want to tell people how to live their lives.
Yes.
But I said to Carla, I said, if I want to live in a neighborhood like this and I'm in that situation, I'd like you to you feel free. You have carte blanche to over-medicate me in my beverage with lunch.
Well, that's
so that
nice.
Daddy
yeah.
has a nice sleep,
mm-hmm.
the sleep of the dead, and goes off.
The mirthless sleep.
I just don't want to. I mean, you talk to people like that.
Yeah,
I don't want to be hanging around when it's just a chore. Even now, I say that now, but everybody, of course, will probably eventually process it in a different way when they get to that point.
Not me.
I'm just saying I don't want to be. Not you. Well, you won't get to that point.
Well, that's what I mean. And if I do, hit me in the back of the head with a shovel. Take it on.
No, you don't have to worry about it.
No.
Yeah, but, you're talking about old age?
Yeah. You know, my mom lives in a elder community as well. And she just
lost.
Now,
when you say elder community, is that assisted living or is that 55 and older?
55 and older. And she just lost a neighbor that I had met once. I was doing something at her house and he came out and he said to me, you know, made small talk. And he said, you know how old I am? I said, no. He said, 98. I said, that's incredible. I'm going to go get my mail now. And so he was at 98 functioning and fun to talk to, but we lost him. But the thing is when you're 98, your daughter is old enough to take over the house in the 55 plus. So the daughter just moved in.
There. Right.
Yeah. So it works out. It's, you know, the circle of life.
So she's not burdened with, you know.
No, not burdened with care.
55 and over is really, it's just a nice way of saying no kids. Like, keep your children out of it. And that to me is, I've never taken to the concept, especially with what Americana is based on here, of, you know, you go to a certain area. Did your mom not want to be burdened with children around the neighborhood? Is that what it was?
No. I think it was, I mean, obviously it wouldn't be her own kids. They got a good deal on the house.
No, I know not her own kids. I'm talking about other.
No, I don't think that's. Because they are adjacent to a street that has kids. I think they just liked the house and got a deal on it, and they qualified, you know, being older. So.
Now, when you say, so what I think of is 55 and older. The first one I saw was in Northern Virginia.
Right.
That 55 is like you go in. There's a guard there that has carte blanche to gun down any children that come into the neighborhood.
She has no guard in her neighborhood.
So there's no, you said adjacent to the street? Then is it really a 55 and over community?
Yeah, and then the next courtyard over is just regular houses. But her street is
do the streets connect?
No, there is a street that connects them, but no, they're not, they don't connect. So it's
you
her
just
house.
Said, this is how you answer that. You just said there is a street that connects them, but no, they don't connect.
Well, no,
you
I
understand
think you,
that's very difficult
well,
to understand.
Okay,
what
I
said.
Thought you were asking is, are they on the same street?
No, I see. Okay. You said there's a street,
yeah, they are
one
connected.
Street over that has
they are connected
kids.
By his streets. Yeah.
And well, then how can they call it a 55 and over community?
That's what they do. There is her row
what do you mean
of houses.
That's what they do. They can't call if it's a 55 and over community. It's a 55 and over community.
Her housing
come
is
on,
55
fellas,
and over.
Come on, you're losing your heads.
No, I'm not
what?
Losing my head. Her housing. They have their street with a row of townhomes, and then across the street there's another row of townhomes facing.
Is
them.
There a sign?
There is no sign. I think it's just the policy
is
of those houses.
Is it really 55 and over, Rob? Or are
that's
you
what
just,
she, yes, it
or
is, absolutely.
Or you just want it to be 55 and over?
Why would I want it to be that?
If it's a 55 and over community, you have a community. You well, don't have a the maybe street what next I should door say that is connects this. Is not kids. They're either kids in there or there are not kids in there.
Maybe what I should say, it's a 55 or older area because the houses, there's no
separation.
So it's
not specifically, there are plenty of places that say 55 and over.
Okay, well, this house, they had to be 55 or older to buy it. That's what I know. Even though, yeah, it's true.
Even though there's the street, one street over has kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what?
So are the kids
I'll drill
forbidden?
Down on her. No, I don't know that they're... I mean, like, my children were allowed to visit her without any danger. But I don't think...
Well, I don't know the real
there.
Rules of that, but I know... I think there was a guy that I played golf with years ago that was like 38 or 42.
Yeah.
And he he was dating an older woman.
Yes.
And he moved in. And he loved it because it was cheaper.
Yeah.
And because there's money involved, I think.
Sure,
in some
sure.
places. But not, you know, you have the different, well, I don't know what the hell's going on at your mom's
I'll
place.
Find out. I will find out because I know that to get that house, they had to be 55 or older. That's what I know.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think it's a very, you know what, Mike? Maybe it's just a poorly organized 55 and over community where they don't sweat the details.
Just think of the logic. Because speaking of, I'm talking to the king of sweating details here. Think of the logic of it. You are required to be 55 or older to buy a home.
Right.
One street over is like kids and stuff.
Yeah, that families and stuff like that.
So why would they restrict? Because is it a building?
No.
Or is it a, it's
they're
a, it's a, it's a townhouse.
Yeah. So I, you know, maybe it has to do with access to their house on the street because it is all level, no steps to get in. Houses are largely on one level.
Now we're making progress. All right. So it might be a little more user-friendly for people that are older?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most of the stuff on my mom was on one level in her house, so that might be the case. But I know that it had to be because you know why? Because we've teased her about it. We've teased her about being old and living there. And so I don't know
the
actual...
And how old is she currently?
She is just turned 103. No. She is.
She was dating Norman Lear.
Yes.
Up until 3 weeks ago.
Sorry to see him
when
go.
When he took his turn.
She just turned 73. A very young 73.
Okay. All right. I hang with a lot of 73-year-olds.
All right.
And older. Guy sitting next to me today was 82. And a young-minded 82 years old.
That,
and,
you know how still spry. It wasn't that long ago that was like a death sentence. 82.
That it was. It's different. It's a different world.
It is
now. Well, you'll have to figure it out because I mean, my concept. I don't know them myself that much, but my concept was that it was a whole neighborhood that would be that way, and kids were not. You know,
do you suppose
welcomed in the neighborhood? You can't have kids in a 55 and older community.
So if you have this community with the fence and the gate and everything, do you think it's more about keeping the young out or is it keeping the old people in?
It's keeping the young out. It's
okay.
Keeping,
just
they don't want to be bothered.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why in, you know, if you were to do streets, it's not by design because we moved into this house because it was a house.
Okay.
But our street happens to have more old people than young people on it. And so when Halloween rolls around, it's locked up on my street. But one street over, it's Halloween Central. And in fact, so much so that our neighbors come from another community to go trick-or-treating. But on our street, and I don't know, you know, why this is. Now, you might say the larger homes in my community are younger homes as well, which I think probably, you know, it's meant for families and more space and that deal. But I'm not really sure.
Does anybody come around your street around Halloween looking for zombies?
No, no. Okay. The way, if you want to see a scene from The Walking Dead, you usually go out at noon. That's terrible to say. I don't know why I think perhaps with the passing over the weekend of Norman Lear.
Yes.
And, you know, or last week, right? He died last week. And, you know, and then, you know, being around guys, for whatever reason, I'm around people that talk about it a lot. They talk about it a lot more than I like to hear it. And I'm considered one of the younger people, even though I'm not.
All right.
And, you know, I say, well, when I was your age, I'd be able to hit the ball, that type of thing. And then my my wife and son, my son in particular, you know, say, well, Dad, you're old, in a joking way, but it's cumulative to a certain extent.
Sure.
It gets to a point where, you know, and then, so I think it's safe to say then with everything that I've been consuming lately, I've been obsessing on two things. I've been obsessing on age.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been obsessing on this show, and the age thing. I pay attention to how old people are. There's a particular comedian who I've become addicted to. A guy by the name of Shane Gillis. Have you heard of the name?
I've not Shane heard Gillis? Of Shane Gillis. No.
Very funny gentleman, and 33 years old, at least at the time that I was watching his comedy special.
All right.
Shane Gillis is a comedian who. I would say the best way to describe him would be brilliantly inappropriate.
Okay.
Brilliantly inappropriate, where he will take a subject matter that most people would steer clear of, be it race relations, be it Special Olympics,
all right,
be it so many different things, you know, being gay rights, and all of these subjects, he is able to do two things. He is able to make you laugh out loud, and there's a picture of him right now, and you might recognize him when you see that. And he's able to make you laugh out loud, and he's able to do it in a creative way that doesn't take any particular side. And it's absolutely brilliant to me. In his own way, he is... I don't know. He is so casual on stage that it's difficult to believe that he crafts this, but all stand-ups craft their material.
Yeah.
And in order to get a special where you hang in there and you stay on there for a long time, you craft it. Mac, are you familiar with Shane Gillis at all? You got his picture
up
there pretty
quick.
I've
seen a few TikToks of him.
He's pretty – he straddles the line a little bit, don't
you think? Is he an American guy?
He is.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't remember so much of his content, though. Does he have a special needs brother?
He may, because he has worked with the Special Olympics, and he uses it in his act. And
I think he does.
In a brilliantly good way, where you're able to you're able to say that is, you know, he doesn't... How do I describe? I can't even explain what he does. That's how good he is. But he does it in a way that is not over the top and cruel and hurtful. It's brilliant. And it's brilliant.
Okay.
And I think that you're a little on edge when you're watching him.
Sure.
You're feeling like there's danger ahead, which is great to do. George Carlin's an example of that back in the day, that he would do this. Dave Chappelle is another. Dave Chappelle is... a little more point of view oriented as far as Dave Chappelle does it, and it doesn't seem like it is as casual as this guy Shane Gillis. And I think he's been on with Rogan a couple of times, and it's just fun. And we need more comic voices now more than ever. And we need, I think, the younger voices of comedians that are doing stand-up that are coming out, because some of these guys are just so good at what they do. And there's a different perspective on comedy, I think, coming from a much younger generation. And I think it is spectacular, because these guys are very, very aware and have been probably most of their lives with cancel culture, whereas cancel culture for me was something that, you know, we ran into head on after not seeing anything about it. And it started with the whole Janet Jackson thing, where that was like, be careful what you do, what you say, who you are, and all that. And, you know, there's a line people use quite often that says, you know, don't be so sensitive. And I'm like, well, don't be so insensitive. And I get that. But if you craft material on sensitive subjects in such a way, and I know it has to require work on the part of this guy, that you can laugh out loud and not feel like you're, you know, really going into an area that is cruel, I think it's amazing. It's amazing to do that because everybody wants to. Everybody's worried about being attacked nowadays. Everybody's worried about the comedian saying the wrong thing or hurting the wrong group of people. And I get tired of it.
Well, with the cancel culture starting with like the Janet Jackson incident, it's almost like there's been time for an entire generation of people that can grow up to be comics that have always had that lurking over them. Because the people that I think really suffered by it were the ones that had to do a diametric shift that day or as things changed, they had to change their act. But these acts have developed into the culture we have now. And so
and
maybe it gives them an edge.
I have to say this.
Yeah.
I have to say this, that because of that, they know how to negotiate it better than probably some old comedians that'll just be, you know, another guy that does a good job, I think, is Bill Burr. I think Bill Burr handles it really, really, really well. And it's just he does a thing on racism that is edgy and fun and tells the story. And I'm paraphrasing here, but Bill Burr has a woman say to him, "I hope you don't think this is racist, but there are a lot of Asians in this restaurant." And Bill Burr, you know, and Bill said when she prefaced what she was going to say with, "I hope you don't find this racist." He said, "Oh, bring it on. I've never heard anybody start a conversation like that." He said, "It's not inappropriate to say there are many Asians in this restaurant. There are. What's inappropriate is to say there's so many effing," and it's funny. It's funny when you do. We're all sensitive right now. We're all over the top, crazy, sensitive. And by the way, when you negotiate this cancel culture and you work around the parameters, Bulletin, same thing we did growing up in this business, you end up being funnier. Let me explain what I'm saying. When you're talking about innuendo, sexual innuendo back in the day, that to me was always infinitely funnier than, you know, over the top saying
and
it
required
right there.
More skill. Because you had to be, delicate and clever in how you presented it.
So a guy like this negotiates it and in a brilliant way, and it's fun. So if you check him out, his name is Shane Gillis. And, would I love to chat with him at some point. Very, very funny gentleman. So I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but we were at the Millers, and Mrs. O'Mara and I have not socialized in that type of setting where it's a party for a long time. We've gone to dinner with friends, la, la, la. We've had people over. But this was a party. I immediately took up with this guy who is a father of one of Michael's friends on his flag football team. And this guy, and it's a cocky little kid that he's got his, and I realized where he got it from because his dad's a cocky little dude as well. And we had many, many laughs. And I just enjoyed myself so much, but perhaps a little too much because I went in and I said to my friend Mark, "Hey, what are you?" Like I always do whenever I go to anybody's house, "What are you drinking?" "I'll have that." And it happened to be the classic cocktail. You might have seen this in some of the really upscale restaurants in big cities.
Yes.
Vodka and Fresca.
Oh, yeah. They made that, Mike. They had that a lot in Mad Men.
Vodka and Fresca. Really terrific. And, you know, you have enough of those, you're doing fine. I maintained. I was great. Don't know what Mrs. O'Mara was doing, but whatever she was drinking, and I think it involved a little Prosecco during the day, Mrs. O'Mara said to me this morning, as we are having our morning coffee, she said to me, "I don't remember coming home last night."
Oh,
she
it was
said,
one
"Did
of those
I drive?"
Parties.
I said, "No, you didn't drive. I drove." Mm-hmm. I drove. It was one neighborhood next door. It was all of 100 yards to get to the other entrance. And she had a very, very good time. And I will tell you that it's always nice because when that happens, and Carla didn't do anything untoward or act in any obnoxious way, but I relish the opportunity to be over the top and saying, "You were wonderful. You were delightful. You just, you know," and because then the next time I do something bad, I'll say, "You know, I never give you a hard time about you having one too many." That's the way
true.
It is. But it was a lot of young people. And do you find it your social circle has stayed the same, diminished, or expanded since you went off the juice?
It stayed the same. It's still very small. Okay. I mean, I was trying to think.
But there's a certain group that gets together and it's roar time, right?
Well, it used to be, yeah, but it's not anymore. No, I mean,
I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about everybody else.
Yeah, sure. I was thinking about the last time we gave a party. I guess it was Julia's graduation, and we had a good attendance, and there was some good drinking going on. Yeah, I was very happy with it. I thought that was good. And my grandfather used to say he quit smoking right after the war, and that to the day he died, he loved the smell of a cigarette because he missed it. Well, I like to see people drinking and having a good time. So I think a lot of people would say,
Were there a lot of smokers at Julia's party?
No, there was no smoke. I was just using that as an analogy.
Oh, okay. All right. I was just curious if everybody was sparking up, you know.
Well, just pot.
Any weed?
Everyone loves
any
pot.
Weed?
Okay. No. But, I like to see people do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I think back in my day, I remember driving up to Maine in the back of a station wagon without any car seats or anything. We're like 8, 7. Well, my sister's like 7 and I'm a baby. And then my sister's like 13 and I'm an 8-year-old. And we're in the back of the car, no car seats, bouncing around going, are we there yet? Well, my parents have the windows rolled up smoking Kent cigarettes bounce around. And it was
rear-facing third row? Those are really safe on
no,
a station
No, the rear-facing, my cousins had the rear-facing third row. I think they did. That was a big ass like Chevy that they had with that, and that would be.
Yeah, I think that was a GM thing. Yeah,
where the back of the station wagon had that third row right against
seat,
the back of the station wagon.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Is that Mac?
I believe that could be Dan O'Brien. Is that Dan O'Brien?
Let me go tell him to stop what he's doing.
What's it? No, this is fun. No, let him do it. Let him do it. What was it? Was that Dan O'Brien?
Yeah, yes. He's shutting down the studio.
He's getting ready to shut down the studio. He's probably going to turn off the lights. Can you turn those back on, Dan?
He turned them off.
And tell him to lean into the camera and smile for us.
Please.
Can anybody hear anything in the studio right now?
No. Not unless he put his headphones on.
All right. There you go.
He's Look turning the that. Lights back on.
Tell Dan to lean in so we can see his face. I want to
Give
see
me
his
one
face.
Sec. One Give time. Me one sec.
Okay.
Mac is literally like 5 feet away from him right now.
Yeah,
but it's
like
he's in
exactly.
the room.
Doors and glass and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, open the soundproof
door
glass.
And everything. Give me a sec. Right.
Yeah, he's ready to get out of there, Mike.
Julian task.
He's
yeah. Well, that's why we're
down.
We're taping later on in the day. That's the way that went down.
Do you remember that the in a Volkswagen Beetle or Bug there was like a almost like a storage container behind the back seat, small, but because they didn't really have a trunk. And I remember being stuck in that with my cousin Wes.
There he is.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. Bye. Oh, this is end of day, Dan. Look at that.
Yeah,
he can't see you, unfortunately.
He can't see me?
I can get the TV on. Give me a
No, second. Don't. No. Not worth it. Not worth all the effort. Don't worry. Just tell him thank you. Give him a thank you. Send him on his way. Send him home.
Okay. Will do.
End of the day. End of the business day. Yeah. Good job. Nice Bye. To see everybody at Podville burning the midnight oil. Are you listening? Dan, nod your head if you're listening to me right now.
I think he is.
I don't know. Okay. Can you hear me, Dan? Good.
He can hear
All right.
You.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. Have a safe drive home.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm so sorry.
That's
I didn't
quite all
right.
That
y'all...
That's all right. We just
sorry
noticed you in the upper right-hand corner.
Boy, are you in trouble, Dan.
Mac, this will be on the final post too, right? We'll see him.
Of course it will.
Thanks so much.
sorry, guys.
Weird day. That's okay. Butt in. Hey, have a great day.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
What the frig is going on? Oh, my God. What a day.
We should just end on a script. So car safety used to be different and cigarettes.
The one thing
cars.
About those seats, if I'm not explaining it properly, you're talking about where the tailgate of the station wagon shut.
Yes.
The kid's knees would be up against that. So if you were rear-ended in any way, you've got crushed baby.
Yeah.
I mean, right there when that happened.
It was to make it even better, Mike, it was a fold-up rear seat. So it was part – it was just – you would be –
flimsy.
You know what? It would be, Mike, it would be the crumple zone.
Right.
And
oh,
the
absolutely.
Child was in it.
Like if you were hit by any kind of like – if you were hit by a dually –
Oh, good night, nurse. Yeah.
It would be splatter patter. horrible thought. Hey, as far as the Millers, though, A-plus party. Let me tell you, when you walk in and you see the chow, like with labels on it as far as what they have. And you see all these hors d'oeuvres and a little bit of potluck. People brought things. Carla brought a really cool cutting tool for dicing food and you know, preparing things, doing food prep, because Mark is a big chef, so he likes doing that. But there was so much good stuff.
And anything spring to mind as your favorite? Food-wise?
As far as the food, there's a dude that, and I couldn't believe the guy, 40-something. He was and he was a young-looking 40, too. And he had a dad bod already, though. And he made bruschetta that was just about the best I've ever had. And, you know, so it was eating, drinking. And unfortunately, when you are dealing with what I deal with that wonderful stuff that I take to lose weight, the tirzepatide gets you where if you go in and you really fast, you hit the wall really quickly. So I was a little overzealous in getting all of the food. And then by the time I, you know, when you're done, you're done. Your tummy, your brain, everything else tells you you are done. But the Millers know how to do it. They know how to put it out. There were kids crawling all over the place from a variety of ages, all the way from older teenagers right down to babies in people's arms. They had a water slide out and back. They had a pool in back of their house. The kids were splashing around in the pool. They're throwing beach balls around. The dads are watching football. He's got two TV screens on the wall where we're watching football. There are dads drinking beer. Then they switch to the hard stuff. He's making an old fashioned in the corner. I'm drinking vodka and Fresca. We're watching all the ball games, and life was good. And it makes me realize that I am truly not a skilled social person. I would love to be able to throw. I don't think that, well, maybe in the day, I had some good ones back in Manassas, back in the day. I had some pretty good shindigs, but this was just a daytime party, and day partying is the best partying for me in my life right now. And just wanted to give them a thumbs up. As far as the incident, we are laughing about it now. And I realized
that
Mark was feeling good at the end of this party.
Good for
him. He's doing a morning show down here in Fort Myers. He has to get up at 3:45 to go out to the casino because the local bad place, the local casino down here, the Immokalee Seminole Casino, is debuting their roulette and crap tables today.
Oh, so he was there because they've got a
they're going to have they have already have blackjack, but they were adding roulette and craps to the equation.
Wow, as someone, Mike, in your career, you've done a lot of remote broadcasts. Even in the morning hours, you would do remote broadcasts.
I'd be thrilled to do a broadcast at a casino. Nothing would make me
happy. Only thing that would make it work are the people that were still there. You know,
which there would be.
Yeah, I think so.
But we've been in enough casinos to know that is not necessarily a pretty sight. And by the way, I think in order to see that, because you don't see it, well, if you see it at a seedier, Atlantic City be a better example.
Yeah.
I was one of those people occasionally at 7 o'clock in the morning in Atlantic City.
Oh.
Just going, I want to get back. Or I'd get up early and I'd go down there because, you know, hey, gambling, 24-hour gambling.
The best thing is to get a decent night's sleep, get a cup of coffee, and then go down there because then you have the advantage over the people that have been there all night that have sweated through their suit.
Yes.
That's bad.
And there was I know at one time, I'm not sure whether it was Las Vegas, Atlantic City, it was one place like that where I went to bed early. We were tired. We'd gambled and food and drink all day long, and we went to bed early, and I got up at about 7:30 in the morning, and at the same slot machine was the lady I'd seen at about 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, that's
she was
so
there,
bad.
She was there first thing in the morning, and she hadn't moved. You could tell. She was wearing the same outfit.
Oh.
It smelled really, really nice.
Oh, I bet. That Atlantic City smell? Mm.
I saddled up to the machine right next to her. Oh, the smell of luck. That's the smell of getting lucky.
That's
the way
luck.
That works, everybody. So as far as the Millers are concerned, kudos to them. Great to see Mark again. Great to see his wife again. And
well, here's the big question then.
Yeah.
Is there a party in your future? Did this inspire you to do something?
I think that Carla was saying a lot of things late at the party.
Yes.
Let me give you some of the things she said. Okay. We're going to have a big party. with everybody.
Okay.
All right. That's I know that's not going to happen. Yeah. I know when she wakes up, that's not. Here's another thing she said. You know, I'm the only one with a really nice watch in the family. You deserve the best watch in the family. You should just get it. Oh, I hear the door opening. Right
that ain't going to happen.
I hear the door opening. Who's coming in? Hi. Oh, you're getting a drink. I'm talking about you last night when you said I should get a big, nice watch.
You can
you were
get
sweet.
It.
You don't? Do you remember saying that?
Of course.
Oh, you do. Do you still mean it?
You deserve it.
I deserve it. Oh, she's
guess
being
what?
Sweet,
Mike.
She's
she doesn't
sweet.
Remember it.
She
she's playing along.
Yeah. She get any car you want. The only thing she didn't say is because you're going to die sooner than I am. That's the way it's going to work.
Mike, whatever you
have
buy,
fun,
buy
baby.
Something that holds its value.
Yeah, absolutely.
For when you die.
So. Listen, we got to take a break. We
yes,
will come
we
back
should.
With the round table and more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Meara Show.
Mike,
you get whatever you want.
We're going to do the round table, and you deserve to have the best radio segment there is. You deserve the
absolutely.
Best one.
Absolutely. Very, very exciting. Thank
we're going to
have
a
much.
Party.
Why did you come home? I don't remember. I have no memory of that.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Tis the season for hydration. So, no matter where you are or how you're hydrating, this season, Liquid IV is the hydration brand to fuel your well-being. Their hydration multiplier can keep you going through the end of the year and beyond, 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 beyond. Liquid IV has three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus eight vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. Remember, Liquid IV hydrates two times faster than water alone, all in a single stick. So, so good, so easy, plus now available in sugar-free. Choose from three delicious flavors, white peach, green grape, and lemon lime. Trust me, Leb it live all the time. You know,
all the time.
Change that, please. Okay. Let me see. But I love them all, and you will too. Make it a Liquid IV holiday. Grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or the best way to do it, you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at the Kraken. It's got the biggest watch in town.
Very, very exciting. But I was tiddly enough when I got home that I looked at him, but didn't pull the trigger.
That's, you know what, Mike? That's wise. Smart.
Well, you know, in my station in life now, you say, go ahead, finance it.
Oh, no.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hit my thing.
Yeah.
Jada Pinkett Smith has come out with some interesting stuff about her man, Will Smith.
Will
she
Smith.
Calls the Oscar slap the holy slap. She calls it the holy slap because, quote, so many positive things came after it. The most positive of all, it saved their marriage, she says. She says, quote, that moment of the crap hitting the fan is when you see where you really are. Quote, after all those years trying to figure out if I would leave Will's side, it took that slap for me to see I will never leave him. Who knows where our relationship would be if that hadn't happened? These are confused people.
Yeah, and she's still, opinion. Mike, she's still selling a book. Remember that.
And
didn't she say like a month ago that she was divorced for the last like 10 years?
Well, that they live separate
lives.
Yeah, they
sex lives.
Are divorced without actually being divorced for the last 10 years.
And I guess there's a new lady that we've seen Will been that's been hanging out with Will. So, anyway, this woman, you know, it's very strange, but when you're in the public eye like they are, and they're very concerned about the reputation like they are, who knows?
I think they're mining for gold from the incident. It's not a good incident. It was a bad incident, and she's selling a book. And I think it's borderline trashy to keep bringing it up, especially if it's just to move some merchandise. I don't care for it.
I agree. I think it's a naked money grab, Rob Spiewak.
Yeah, it is.
That's
what it is. Tom Hanks thing right there. Look out.
The hardest drug Julia Roberts has ever taken. Have you ever fallen asleep thinking about that?
I often do, yes. What is it?
I knew you did. During a game of Plead the Fifth on Watch What Happens Live, she admitted that it was mushrooms That's what Julia Roberts has done.
Okay.
I bet Eric's done everything. I bet he's like every drug. Her brother, Eric Roberts, has been in all the B movies.
I think Eric's
probably
dealing.
Done a lot of stuff. He's a dealer. She doesn't regret it. In fact, she called it a positive experience. Everybody's having positive experiences in Hollywood.
Good for them.
Here's her quote. It was nice. Yeah, not going to lie. Kids, don't try this at home. Elsewhere on the show, Julia revealed that she turned down You've Got Mail, which ended up being the third romantic comedy starring Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks. These things happen all the time, of course. Julia added, quote, Meg was supposed to be in Steel Magnolias, and she was still filming when Harry met Sally, so Julia got that part. I guess if you're A-list stars, it happens all the time.
Yeah, there's probably not a lot of people. Yeah. Have you ever done mushrooms? Have you ever done mushrooms?
What's that?
Have you ever done mushrooms?
No, I don't. No. No,
okay, me neither. No.
I'm not into that. I don't like to experiment.
I don't like the notion of a hallucinogen. I don't like that.
Have you ever tried one?
No. No. I mean,
acid?
I had,
right? Have you ever dropped acid? Mac, you ever drop acid?
Every day.
Every day. Thank you. Cate Blanchett was supposed to be in Closer, but what is Closer? Why am I not?
That was like a romantic drama, I think.
Right.
Carrie likes it. I've never seen it.
Okay. Well, yeah. These are just celebrities.
It's a Carrie movie.
Yeah. What a crappy round table today.
No, it's who wrote fine. It.
Are you a Christmas, would you qualify yourself as a Christmas super fan?
Yeah, I think I would.
You don't like Halloween anymore, but you like Christmas, right?
I like Christmas. I like Thanksgiving. But yeah, Christmas is the best. Thanksgiving is a meaningful, great holiday, but Christmas can be amazing. I love it.
I've got an issue that I'll discuss later about Christmas decorations. We have none this year outside. There are two wreaths on the little sconces outside of my garage, and one of the wreaths is lit, and the other the lights have burned out, and I haven't even bothered to deal with it.
For a second, I thought you were being I thought you were being youthful. You say that wreath is lit, very cool.
I've lost my mojo. I lost my mojo when the guy charged me a gazillion dollars to wrap the palm tree with Christmas lights.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just, I didn't want to deal with the hassle. Two wreaths is a hassle. They ranked the Christmas spirit of all 50 states by looking at Google searches for things like Christmas decorations, Christmas songs, and wrapping paper. West Virginia.
Yep.
Is the most festive state in America for the second year in a row.
West Virginia! Look at this. I'm wearing the colors today. There you go.
Yeah. West Virginia. It ranked first in searches for songs, decorations, wrapping paper, ornaments, and terms like Santa Claus, Christmas Eve, and Rudolph. And there are parts of West Virginia that probably have a nice little coating of snow on the ground right now.
The main reason they're buying wrapping paper in West Virginia, though, is to line the inside of the walls because, snow's coming to the shack. You got to
warm it up.
Warm it up.
The insulation properties. Idaho has the second most Christmas spirit, followed by Utah. A lot of the Midwest representing.
Yeah,
a lot of the Western states, I should say. Utah, Nebraska, New Hampshire, Missouri. I like saying it that way.
I know.
Where are you from?
Too.
Missouri, Wisconsin, Kansas, Kentucky, and Montana. Those are all Chris. Those are probably states that don't have the city thing going on as much as other states, so they're into it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What do you think? See, here it is. It's proven right here. The grinchiest states are New York.
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah, there you
Hawaii,
go.
Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Maryland.
Ah.
And Nevada.
I don't celebrate no more. I don't like it. I don't like Christmas.
They also looked at the Christmas terms we've been Googling the most, and there's a new number one. We are searching for ugly Christmas sweaters more than anything else.
Dumb.
The rest of the top five should Google
frankincense.
Christmas Eve, Advent cat. It's incense, right?
Yeah. Why would you Google Christmas Eve?
Don't know.
How stupid
Midnight
are
Mass.
People? What
no, it's
day
probably
is it?
That if you say, when they do that Google search, it's not just Christmas Eve alone. It's Christmas Eve included in something like probably Christmas Eve party, Christmas Eve decorating, Christmas Eve tree lighting, Christmas Eve services. Right?
I'm hoping, Mike, there's some guy in West Virginia saying, "What day is Christmas Eve?"
Well, that night before. Advent calendar was the next in the top five. Christmas music and Christmas movies.
Okay. I wonder where Mississippi falls in and all that. Because Mississippi always gets a bad rap on those.
Yeah.
Probably dead center. Yeah.
A New York man scored a $10 million prize from a scratch-off lottery ticket after previously winning the same amount from a different lottery game in 2022.
That is right. Why do the same people always win?
The New York Lottery said Wayne Murray of Brooklyn bought a 200-time scratch-off ticket from H&A Gas and Convenience on Avenue H in Brooklyn and scratched off a $10 million top prize.
Wow.
You know, with all the times I've bought scratch-offs, that feeling of doing that, better, I think, than a slot machine payoff, better than winning a hand of poker, better than your team winning a big bet, the idea of the likelihood.
Yeah.
You know, you just never expect. If you get $10, it's a big deal.
Little piece of cardboard. Yeah. Mm.
Did you ever win a scratch-off? Big one? Have you ever won a big one on scratch-off?
I think $100 might have been
Carl and I got a grand one time, and we had to go down to the office, which was fun. Mm. Yeah. Murray previously won $10 million from a black titanium scratch-off ticket he bought from the same store in 2022, and that, to the best of my knowledge, is a windfall for the store, too.
Yeah, the store gets a bonus, yeah.
At least they do with the lotto winners. Uh-huh. The two-time winner claimed his latest prize as a $6,122,400 lump sum after the required withholdings.
Wow.
So both times, he gets about $12 million tax-free out of that equation. All right, I bet he's got decorations up.
I bet he does. I bet he has a pie that tastes like chocolate that is very, very wide.
I'm going to tell people that now, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's a really good idea if you move the kids away from whatever device you're listening to. If it happens to be coming through a speaker, it's time for the grown-ups to stay in the room, and we need the kids to leave the room right
grown-up
now.
Grown-up time.
In an interview, and this is just a tiny little story. Look at how small this is on the page.
Oh, it's hardly anything. Yeah.
In an interview all the way back in 2008, Robert Downey Jr. admitted that he was, quote, a compulsive serial masturbator.
Hmm.
Hmm is right. He added, quote, but it was the best thing I could have been. I utilized it and wrote it for everything it was worth. So also said Robert Wadhams Spiegel.
That's right.
Yeah, but all the time, night and day. And two people we've talked about on the show today. Both Dan O'Brien and Michael McIntosh, all of them riding it for all its worth.
But the amazing thing
does that mean I can be Iron Man?
No.
Yes, you can be Iron Man.
Thank you.
Can dress up anytime you want. Matter of fact, for Christmas, I'll get you an Iron Man suit. How does that sound?
Thank you.
You know, I'd love to see Mac dressed as Iron Man.
I think he'd make
a
better
intern thing we used to do all the
time. I think he'd be a better chaplain.
You mean we're doing Robert Downey Jr. movies.
No, I think that would fit him better. That's all.
Let's talk about Chime, ladies and gentlemen. Improving your credit score might not be at the top of your naughty or nice list, but low or no credit can make holiday shopping ho-ho horrendous. So no matter what you're buying this season, use the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card to build your credit scores with on-time payments for everyday purchases. Plus, there's no annual fee, interest, or credit check to get started. Use it like a Visa card at all Visa-accepted spots to bolster your credit with your own funds. Level up your credit game with Chime. Seize your financial future. And God bless us, everyone, during the holidays. Start building up your credit right now. Open a Chime checking account with at least a $200 qualifying direct deposit to get started. Get started at Chime.com/TMOS. That's Chime.com/TMOS. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A. member FDIC. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Call 1-844-244-6363 for details. Late payment may negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boom!
Boom! That's the way you do it, folks, right there.
Got it. Okay, what to talk about here? I'm torn between two subjects.
All right.
Because I really, really want to talk about Mac going to the movies, but I don't think that'll be that interesting. Mac, will it be interesting? Be honest.
Yes.
Okay, what does that mean?
That's as enthusiastic as he gets.
Yes.
He got very excited.
Tell me about your movie.
Yeah.
Tell me about your movie.
The movie I saw this weekend was called Godzilla Minus One.
Why is it minus one?
Because it's kind of going back to its roots of being set. It was made in Japan.
Yes, I know. And you're Japanese in love with Japan. You're still studying Japanese, aren't you?
But yes.
Have you learned any new words in Japanese?
I haven't learned anything new in a little bit.
What's a little bit? How many months?
A couple months.
So you haven't been studying?
Not as of late.
Okay.
Is there a Japanese word for Godzilla?
Yes. The original name is Gojira.
Gojira! I don't want to do that. I'll get in trouble. See, that's the thing. I'm not like that Shane Gillis who can work around things.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
I think it means like gorilla elephant, something like that, is what the original, like, it's like mashing of those two words together.
All right.
But this is kind of going back to its roots where it's set post-World War II.
Is it a Japanese production?
Yes.
Ooh. So was this an obscure release where you had to go to a certain theater to find it?
No. Okay. It was supposed to be just a quick run in America.
All right.
But because of its success, it's extending it. But I found it at AMC Tyson's Corner.
Did you go with your buddy, your movie buddy?
I did. Yes.
Okay. And did he enjoy it?
He did.
Okay.
We both were astounded by this movie.
Astounded?
Astounded.
Astounded?
Wow. When it was done, did you...
It had such an impact.
When it was done, did you two clasp hands and jump in circles? How did
but the audience clapped.
Oh, they clapped.
Gave like an ovation. Yeah, I hate people clapping at movies.
Why?
It's just weird.
It's weird, but if you see applause at the end of a movie, you know that collectively the people in that theater have had the kind of experience where they want to put their hands together. Mm-hmm. That usually means it's something really, really special. But I'm curious to know why you were astounded at this film.
Because there have been a few Godzilla movies that have released as of late, and they have essentially been giant CG monster fights.
Yes, that's what I would think of any Godzilla picture.
I enjoyed that, but not like it was something amazing. It was just something turn your brain off and enjoy.
Stupid action adventure kind of monster movie, right? Okay,
well, but typically those movies have an A plot, which is the CG fights, and B plot some humans who are trying to survive.
Okay,
and the humans are always worthless. Just remove that from the movie, and it gets better. This purely follows a guy who is a kamikaze fighter deserter, who freezes and fails to save a team of mechanics from a much smaller Godzilla. Godzilla gets empowered by nukes, and now he comes to attack Tokyo.
So there's other Godzillas that aren't as big as Godzilla?
No, it's the same Godzilla, but it's pre-nuclear bombs.
Color me astounded, too.
That is astounding.
It doesn't really follow Godzilla. It follows this guy.
Do they tell the backstory of why was he like getting in the plane and putting his flag on his body and getting ready to go into a human bomb and fly it into a battleship and he decided to fly to the island of the monsters?
No, it essentially is just him arriving at a airport and him being a kamikaze, and they're saying that he had a breakdown of his plane, but there was nothing wrong with it.
That's how he got out of it. That's what I'd do if I was over there. I wouldn't want to, I wouldn't want to die for the emperor. I bet, but those guys did, the cult of personality. We have it in America now, too. I won't go into the details, but that's pretty cool that he does this, and then he's like the catalyst. He's the dramatic catalyst
of
the film.
Guilt.
With
sure.
guilt.
Sure. Yeah.
Because this is like the most dishonorable thing you can ever do in Japan at that time.
Okay.
If you are set to be a kamikaze pilot, if you leave, your entire family
is dishonored.
Is basically dishonored. And when he goes home, Tokyo is completely destroyed.
Right.
Because of World War II.
He feels guilty.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And he's just racked with guilt throughout the entire movie. And then now they have to deal with, first they had to deal with nuclear bombs. They have to deal with
I have to be honest.
This monster.
So everything you're saying, it's fascinating. It's a good recap of everything. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find out where the astounding part is.
I can't really say anything without giving anything away.
Oh, God.
It's not a CG
movie.
Monster fight. It is a story.
You can give anything away for a Godzilla movie. It's fine.
No.
No,
because
he doesn't
this has
want
a story.
To. Don't make
this
him.
Has a this right. has a beautiful story.
How about now, the yeah. how about the special effects? Are they credible? Because I've always found of all the monsters that I've ever seen on cinema, whether it be ye modern or olden timey, Godzilla is the fakiest.
Yeah, typically is yeah rubber suits. But
do you have a picture of the? Can you find a picture
get,
of
yes.
the
yeah.
current Godzilla?
Pictures.
That or yes, the one from the Godzilla Minus One. That sounds yes. like Godzilla going out to a singles bar. You
yeah,
know?
It's a yeah. weird name.
What
yeah.
are you having for dinner? I'm going to have the veal parmesan, but I'm minus one tonight, so I'll be dining solo.
I had a teacher that talking. If you misbehave, she would say minus one because she'd take a point off your grade. And so,
do you know
minus
what Michael's
one?
Spanish teacher is doing now?
What?
She penalizes the kids if they say bro.
Really?
Michael was complaining about it. I said, I'm going to shake her hand. Dad! I said, I'm going to pull the car over into the parking lot and walk in and thank her for doing that. Your Spanish teacher's all right with me, bruh.
There's got to be a Spanish version of bruh they could use.
No,
right?
It's the same. Yeah, but I mean, it's just, you know, I think yeah. She's trying to make them focus on the intricacies of language. You know,
yes.
Not that slang crap that we have. Oh, there it
there
is.
There he is.
That's a scary-looking monster.
It is. It is very scary looking.
Is it scarier than the previous incarnations of the monster that you've seen?
Yeah, because the previous ones have been just more like humans.
Yeah, and rubber
yeah.
suits.
This actually acts like a monster.
Oh, cool. All right.
And
do they,
what
how
characteristic?
Do they, you said it's not... It, what?
I was going to say, what does a monster act like, Mac? You said he acted like a monster.
It's very slow and just crawls along.
I have to ask you this question. You said it's not over CGI'd. So is that monster CGI, though?
This monster is CGI, but he's in very little of the movie.
Okay, and it's not overdone like it is
it's
with
not
so
like,
many movies.
It's not, yeah, it's not, it is very slightly done.
Has anybody seen the recent car crash videos where they're doing, it's almost like test drives of cars going into like abutments and stuff, and I realized halfway through watching this, that it's actually CGI. Have you seen?
Oh, you
any
must
of that,
no.
Mac,
you must have felt. You must have felt so cheated.
It was yeah, because you see, it's like this otherworldly floating, curving hood
yeah.
that dislodges. Oh, look at that! There it is. There's the monster. That's is nasty it, looking right there.
Can you find us a picture of Godzilla when he was little?
Maybe. I don't think it was really shown in trailers. So okay. It really be online.
Just out of curiosity, not that I'll ever. You know, spend the time, but how much, what's the running time on this? About how long was the movie?
It's about 2 hours, an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, that's a big half hour you're leaving out there.
Yeah.
Is it an hour
and a
half?
Really, I never look.
Hours?
I never really
because
look.
Because you're engaged.
Time.
You're captivated by it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Astounding.
This was probably the best movie I've seen this year.
How many orange hoodies do you give it?
If out of 5, 6.
You give 6.
Wow,
you have given, you are giving this a passionate rave.
It is a perfect monster movie.
Really?
Perfect.
And a great storyline too.
Yes.
Is there any like see when I think of a great monster movie or a great there's a difference between monster movies and horror movies. Would
yeah,
you agree?
True.
Yes.
But even in the monster movies, I like to have a little carnage with my monsters. Is there any carnage in this movie?
Yes.
Like good carnage. Like really good Japanese style carnage too, where like an arm gets bitten off and then sprays blood all over the place.
No. Oh. He tosses some people around, but it's a lot of people are probably going to perish if you see this movie.
Perish. Are there any jump scares
such a
in
dork.
It?
Hold on.
No.
Let
okay.
me finish my line of questioning
because
right. I'm really good. You know the original Jurassic Park.
Yes.
You know, it's a great movie carnage moment when the guy's on the outhouse or goes into the toilet
yeah.
and the T-Rex gets him and then sort of snaps his back as mm-hmm. as he's twisting him. That's great movie carnage right there. I like that, you know. Also, go ahead.
He's far too big to do something like that.
So he couldn't do that. He would just, the guy would be like a, he'd be like eating, like a human being eating a raisin.
Yeah.
Astounding.
Yeah. Correct. He's just destroying the city.
Okay.
Essentially.
All right. I get it.
Can
That's
you
cool.
estimate the height of Godzilla when he got big? Do they do it any way? Like, is he next to a building? Is there any way to put
yes.
him into perspective?
He's next to buildings. He was probably about 20 to 30 stories.
Mac, I
wow.
love, and I am not, now I'm not busting your chops. I love, I mean, L-U-V, love. talking to you about movies. You are so passionate, and I know you like to talk about them on the show, and you now, I give you carte blanche that you are our movie guy. Anytime you see a movie, good, bad, indifferent, you come in here, and we will give you a segment, because I love, love, love this, and you gave it, and you know, that enthusiasm. I love passion, and you have passion for six orange hoodies out of five. That's amazing. It blew it off the scale.
I, as a little capper, I will say, when I was watching this movie, I cried about three or four times.
You were emotional during this movie.
It is an emotional movie. It is a scary movie. It is an awesome movie in the fact that I was awestruck throughout this movie.
Awestruck.
It is a great movie.
Wow.
It's amazing. Who do you relate the most to in this film? Usually in order to get emotional, something triggers something.
Yeah.
In you. Who triggered you in this movie? Was it the monster or the
yes,
pilot?
It's the monster.
Oh, is it the monster?
No.
Frankenstein, King Kong, the monsters get, they get sympathetic in the end.
Yeah,
sometimes.
That's why you root for them a little bit.
I won't say what happens in the end, but I didn't really find much sympathy with anyone because it's such a different time and place. So it's very little to see myself in for any of the characters.
If you got emotional during this movie, and I don't want to give a spoiler alert, is there any small chance that Godzilla made it into one game, dressed for one game for Notre Dame at the end of the season?
No, okay. No.
Sorry,
he did not.
Rudy reference we have to take away. Thank you, Mac. That was fun.
No,
I like that. That's the best thing I could have gone to right there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Mac, you've turned my day around. You have turned my day around. But you've turned my frown upside down. My technical problems frown is turned upside down. We will take a little break. And Rob put down what we will look back on fondly.
Yes.
It's strange, but we'll deal with this when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, to do, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, everybody. This podcast is sponsored by Groove Life. You know what time it is? It's time to update your wallet. The Groove Wallet is a sleek, low-profile aluminum wallet engineered for everyday use. One thumb motion perfectly fans out up to six cards for easy access, and it comes with a Groove Life 94-year no BS warranty. Plus, they just launched a new attachment. This attachment is called the Groove Wallet Go. It attaches to your iPhone 12, 13, or 14 by using innovative microsuction technology. It gives you the ability to add another three cards plus cash. This wallet is so slim, you can easily fit it in your front pocket. You'll barely know it's there. They got a money clip, too, on Groove Life. And don't forget, Groove Life makes the best belts in the world. I own five. One, two, three, four, five. Count them. Five of them. It makes a great gift, too. Just saying. It's time to bring your wallet into the 21st century. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our link, groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off your order. One last time, that's promo code TMOS for 20% off your order. Just click the button on our website for Groove Life, ladies and gentlemen. Click the thing. There you go. I'm fine. All right. So, Rob, you came in here and you said,
"Yeah,
it was a weird concept that you were talking about." Did you read this somewhere, or was this your own?
This is on a website called SWNS, and they do stuff like this where they do surveys. And a couple of these are valid. Some of them make me think that we're really a stupid people. But they said, you know, if you look back from now on stuff you're nostalgic for in the past, what will we be nostalgic about in the future? Like in 2043, let's move forward 20 years and look back.
I know what I'll be nostalgic about. Life. Living. No. I won't have anything to be nostalgic about. All right, 2043, I will be.
And you will be.
No, I'll be 80. Maybe I'll be like the age of one of the guys I play golf with today. So nostalgic, what I would look back on. Are you asking or does it tell
us? Well, I can give you a list and you can tell me whether or not you agree. It says here that the number one answer, 52%, says that 20 years from now, we'll be nostalgic for our smartphones. And
you mean the technology will be so advanced that we will look back and think about holding a smartphone when now?
Yeah, like maybe it's implanted in your head, you know?
And I could possibly see that happening, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know that I'd miss the smartphone because it's... it's changed everything so much. I think it'll always be around in some manner, but do you think in 20 years it'll like be built into our head?
Let's do it this way. Right. What are you nostalgic for now? What are you? What is something you look back on? A thing, an item that you might be nostalgic for?
I am nostalgic for network television to a certain extent, because
that's
television used to be a shared experience.
That's and a you would good one.
Go to school or go
and now,
to work.
I mean, now I'm going to jump on the bandwagon with that one, because I remember it was everybody sits around and watches the big show, right?
At the same time. I guess the only thing we have now is football that does that, you know?
That's it. Otherwise, it's fragmented with that. That is a great one to be nostalgic for. Network television, where we used to gather around. Mm-hmm. I remember it. And my mom and my sister had their shows. The whole family had their shows. And it was different. Everybody now has their nose in their own devices. That's it. All the time.
Yeah.
Carly is never without her phone. She is never without her phone. Ever. When we're watching television, doing anything, having a conversation.
So if we get past the fact that, you know, the smartphone is what they're always got their nose at, maybe we won't be nostalgic for smartphones. Because
I am nostalgic for, can you be nostalgic for less people? Does that make any sense?
Sure.
Where
yeah.
I'm nostalgic for open spaces.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't see them like you do unless you go to certain parts of the United States.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm nostalgic for small town America, which where I grew up, where, you know, we knew the owner of the sporting goods store. We knew the owner of the shoe store. We knew the owner of the grocery store. We knew them in my hometown. I came from that small a town where we do that. I'm tremendously nostalgic for that. Anytime I get a taste of that, I love it.
Yeah, that is.
All right,
that
give
is
me some that, more that are the modern
all right,
ones that we might
this
be
is,
nostalgic
This is
for.
A dumb one. People say they're going to be nostalgic for trending music on TikTok.
No, bullshit. Okay, that's somebody in a room making it up, not paying any attention.
You
absolutely
mustn't use that language.
Oh, sorry about that. Don't leave it in. Who cares?
Some people say they'll be nostalgic for bootcut jeans with flares, but this is flawed because that has gone in and out of style for the past 50 years.
Bell bottoms have gone in and out of style forever.
Mm-hmm. And number six here, 15% will be nostalgic for virtual reality.
Well, I don't know if, because Michael wants one for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
We had one last year that he doesn't use that was given to me. I almost threw up when I put it on.
Yeah, I can't do the stuff.
much like the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Yeah, it messes with your
motion
equilibrium,
sickness.
Right? Yeah.
You are my friend. Happy holidays. Get on the ride. Happy holidays. Vomit on my side. But VR, yeah, maybe when there's something better. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, what could be better, though? I mean, the technology could improve, but nothing that could, like, replace it. Unless, again, it's like a mental
implant.
Oh, you mean
VR? What could improve? Yeah. Everything could improve with VR. Everything. That's the type of technology it is, where it'll be improving. It's like television, and it's like stereo. It's like anything where that's audio-visual or, you know, it's like, look at pictures of old television shows.
Yeah, I guess, but what I'm saying
you couldn't
is...
see the guy. It looks like you when I'm looking at you when we're recording a podcast.
But, Mike, what I'm saying is, like, would you be nostalgic for the way VR is now? Because it's not that great.
Probably not, because I'm not in that. Give me another one.
All right. Actually, the next portion of the list is something that I really found fascinating. What are people currently missing right now? What do you miss from, say, 20 years
ago? Now, that list I'd
like
to hear, because it might jog something in me.
Okay. In general, the most common answer was their teen and tween years. People miss being between the age of 11 and 20.
That is so horribly generic. And
but doesn't
and
it sort of go back
and,
to your
like
small town?
That's like saying,
thing?
Do you miss being young? That's stupid. That doesn't that's not worthy of discussion. It's vanilla ice cream. Don't
All
need
right.
it.
All right. How about the fashion slang and famous actors from your heyday. Do you miss them?
Well, everybody does. Everybody misses the famous, you know. And I, but the nice thing about surfing YouTube, it's why I spend so much time on it. And oh, it was so great. I forgot to tell you about this at the party. I'm talking to a guy that knew all my old Rickles clips, and he was a like an early 40s guy, and he's talking about Rickles with Glenn Campbell, and he's talking about Don Rickles doing this and that, and I was just, I fell in love with him. I really, really did. And but I didn't fall in love with him enough to remember his first name. That's alcohol for you. That's
okay.
That
That's okay. But you know what? It makes me happy that someone younger is into Rickles. That means he lives on.
I pine for the days of those people that have gone before. I pine for the old David Letterman show. Larry Bud Melman. Mm-hmm. I've been doing deep dives on Letterman, and it's just, it's so much fun to watch and watch the old clips. And absence makes the heart grow fonder. And
true.
With Dave, God, you see the evolution of Dave too. When in the early days at NBC, when Dave was just a like a stammering, kind-hearted Midwestern folksy Yahoo guy, and he gradually evolves into this, you know, curmudgeon-y old man, and it's fun to watch the transition.
And
really
he sort of came back from that after his surgery, and I think he went out as sort of the perfect Letterman. He was a little curmudgeonly.
So.
Yeah. He was really good towards the end.
He was. He was. Remember that time where we were all kind of down on him because he got a little too curmudgeon-y during the middle of it? You know, I agree. That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By decade, the shows that people, TV shows that people are most nostalgic for from now, what would you say from the 80s would be the top show people miss?
Oh, this is hard for me to do the decades thing on.
Also,
that.
You weren't watching 80s. A lot of TV in the 80s. Because you were out.
I would say that in the 80s.
I would say this aged pretty well, this show, though.
Would NYPD Blue be one that was...
That would have been more 90s.
Really?
Yeah, because I was 80s. That was on when I was with you. 80s, yeah. This is a sitcom.
Sitcom. Cheers.
That's exactly right. The number one show that people miss is Cheers. 1990s, right. I don't think you're going to guess this, so I'll tell you. Who is really missing Baywatch? I'm not missing Baywatch. Are you? I mean, that's the show that they say for the
90s. I didn't watch Baywatch because I just didn't watch Baywatch. But the idea of seeing clips of Baywatch and Pamela Anderson and running on the beach with boobies bouncing, that's who doesn't miss that?
And speaking of boobies bouncing, Mike, the show that people miss from the 2000s is Breaking Bad.
Ah, the 2000s Breaking Bad was, I remember...
Yeah,
I remember going not against the grain, but not jumping on that bandwagon soon enough and then binging it. And that was one of the first bingeable releases.
Yes.
And enjoying every single minute of that and bingeable. And by the way, not enough bingeable television anymore.
You're
not getting enough of it. They're all monetizing it now, and I guess they have no choice but to do that. But I love bingeable television. I like to – if I love something – I want to knock them all out. Carla could care less. She loves the one night, one series, you know, one episode per night.
I'll tell you where I really feel it. I really feel it on that chemistry show. What is it? The kitchen?
Lessons in Chemistry?
Lessons in Chemistry. It kills me that there's not more than one episode available a week because I love that show.
Maybe on tomorrow's show we can discuss Lessons in Chemistry because Hollywood, God love them.
Mm-hmm.
They need to stop forcing issues into every episode.
Oh,
Lessons in Chemistry,
lot.
One of
they
the worst defenders of that. Just, you know, I can only have a show dedicated to one group being oppressed, not 10. When we come back, it's the flip side and more fun and more thrills. And just remember, if you want to go see a movie this weekend, it's Godzilla Minus One. It brought Michael McIntosh 2 tears. We'll be right back with
multiple
more fun.
Times.
Multiple times. Thank you, Matt.
Oh,
we'll
dear.
Be right back, everybody. Hey, everybody. The holidays have always been ground zero for weight gain. It doesn't have to be that way. How would you like to lose 21% of your weight? I've lost over 65 pounds, and I'm excited to share with you that DermGlowSkin.com is now your one-stop shop for finally getting control of your weight problem. All you have to do is click the weight loss button at DermGlowSkin.com. It's that easy. You take a quiz, and you see if you'll qualify. If you do, A doctor will write you a prescription, the pharmacy will fill it, and your weight loss medication will be shipped directly to your house. If you're one of the people, like I was, just wandering, flailing, if you will,
yes,
about the concept of getting these, listen, the sizzle for these medications was burned so hot for such a short period of time, and you still read about it all the time, but they work. I'm here to tell you these are the real weight loss products, semaglutide and tirzepatide. And you've been hearing an awful lot about these, and all you have to do is take a quiz to see if you qualify. If you do, you can get them right now at DermGlowSkin.com. That is Mrs. O'Mara's website, everybody. Go ahead, do it all online right now at DermGlowSkin.com. Click the weight loss button and begin the best journey of your life. Be like our proud partner, Maureen O'Hara. Perhaps you remember her as Doris Walker in the Christmas classic Miracle on 34th Street. She was a natural redhead who was born in Dublin, Ireland, and True. Would eventually be known as the Queen of Technicolor. Dermglow always kept O'Hara looking her best, which allowed her and John Wayne to screw like rabbits. Yay for Dermglow. Did they really do that, Rob, or was it just in the movies?
That's a legend, but they made 4 movies together. They were very fond of each other.
Did they make 4? What was the Irish one? Was that the...
That was, The Quiet Man.
The Quiet Man, not The Thin Man. That was a different movie altogether.
That's
all right,
Powell.
Take it away.
Yeah,
play your
little
thing. Let's
flip it.
There we go.
I don't normally tease spots, but tomorrow I have the most amazing fact in the Dermglow spot that will make me
very exciting.
Very, very
exciting. And look for more videos that I'll be doing for Dermglow on your favorite social media locations, ladies.
Mike, I know that today has been a day. Do you think that a good parody record would change your mood?
Only if you allow me one little moment to flip up the canvas on the back of the truck.
Yes,
where
I
have
think
all
you have to.
Of my ordinance that I use for the impending invasion. I'm ready,
Rob. What I will
Rob,
say is this, is that this weekend coming up is the top weekend of the year for the Santa pub crawls, where people dress up as Santa Claus and go bar to bar to bar.
I got wasted dressed as Santa Claus, walking around the pub crawl Friday night.
Took him out in one shot. Oh,
yep, they caught the depot on fire. How about one more? I just don't.
Please,
I really
make
didn't.
Sure.
Take that. There you go. I like the metal bar that it falls.
I
down.
Do.
I liked
like
it so much.
Much.
I'm gonna blow it up again. Here it comes.
Mike, I would say one of the tropes of a Hollywood...
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
Oh, that's all right. It keeps going. One of the tropes of Hollywood movies when a cop is pursuing a criminal, sometimes the cop will steal or take a bicycle to pursue the cop, to pursue on foot, right? The guy runs and the cop grabs a bicycle.
Yeah, like in a Charlie Chaplin movie, maybe.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you see it in movies and you wouldn't think that would actually happen and it wouldn't be caught by... a body cam, but that did happen, just like in a movie.
Borrow your bike. Let me borrow your bike.
Watch a quick-thinking cop in the UK commandeer a bicycle to chase down a suspected drug dealer. The Northamptonshire officer arrived after a call about a suspected drug deal going down. The suspect fled on a bike through a park where the cop's car couldn't go. So like something out of a movie, he commandeered a bicycle from a passerby and gave chase across the grass and into the street where he intercepted the suspect, crashing into him and taking him down.
Yeah.
Great.
Police say the man was carrying cash and illegal drugs and was arrested. The cop later returned the borrowed bike and thanked the owner.
Wouldn't have caught him without your help.
I wouldn't have caught him. I wouldn't have caught him without your help. I just want to say it's, I got the bloke at the corner of Fifth Street and Sixth Street.
I love the fact that he actually knocked him down with the bike. The bike was used as a weapon. Very cool.
Very, very, very cool. And, of course, in the United States, there are plenty of officers that actually ride their own bikes. Go ahead,
like,
Rob.
You
don't need to say anything. It's not necessary.
Okay.
What?
Are you thinking of Ocean City?
No, I wasn't. But that's
Mike, Samsung builds a fine washing machine, I'm sure. But... this is a gentleman, and I didn't realize that people would keep their washer and dryer in the garage. But this fellow bought a Samsung washer, and it was in his garage, and it blew up. And that's not so great. I would have to say, nice work, Samsung.
Washing machine just exploded. It blew up.
And it was all caught on Reggie Braswell's garage security camera.
Glass all up there by the front door, and glass was everywhere.
You can see his Samsung top loader mangled in pieces, the top blown off.
I'm just thankful no one was out there. We weren't out there.
Reggie documented the damage to his dryer, garage wall, and outlets, plus car.
Cracked the lens right there.
Reggie cleaned up his garage and says since the washing machine was in pieces, took it to the curb.
I set it outside and a recycle guy already picked it up.
He called Samsung to report the issue.
Lady told me that, oh, well, since you don't have the washer no more, we can't do anything for you. That's...
Reggie started doing some research online and says that's when he learned the Samsung top loader was actually part of a massive recall in 2016. This recall issued after our investigation exposing the issue. ABC 11, the first to show you this Holly Springs
Thank
woman's
you, Mac.
Machine
Thank
after
you, Mac.
It exploded.
I was surprised that
you know,
Amanda
I have
would...
to tell you, we've had the discussion about the refrigerators, have we
yes.
not?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have one steps away from me in the garage out here.
Right.
Because it's the backup now. But, you know, when you're making televisions and then phones and then washing, maybe too much. Maybe a little too much. Bit off more than they could chew, so to speak.
Are you surprised as I am that a man who was filmed in front of a large American flag would buy a foreign-built washing machine?
I'm very,
because he did
very
have a huge flag behind him, yeah.
Do we have much of a choice, though? I mean, even your American brands like, what, Maytag? Would those be, you know,
I think
Whirlpool?
Kenmore, Whirlpool is still built in the United States. That's why I bought the refrigerator for them. Because you know what? Even if they run for a little while, you can't get parts at all. LG is
You
the
recommended
worst about
the Whirlpool to me years ago, and I'm here to tell you, it is a rock star. It is a rock star. It is really. It was a beautiful recommendation, and I'm
it's
sure Consumer
thing.
Reports has the same info on it. I love that product. I really do.
I love it, too.
This one, you know, stay in the garage on a 98-degree day. Ha, ha, ha.
Does it work good in the garage?
It does.
I mean, does it keep its steep up? Because sometimes they have trouble in the garage, so it's good that
no,
it does that.
No, doing well. Let me see. Our
but then again, you have
is,
a car, you have a climate-controlled garage, so there you go.
Now I do. But back in the day, our electric bill was $10,400 a month.
Mike, let's close with this. Saturday Night Live had a weird episode this week. Normally, you can count on the opening sketch, the cold open, being brilliant, and then sometimes the show falls apart. This was one of the worst opening sketches I've ever seen, but the show turned out great. And I thought it was really quite excellent. And this is from Weekend Update. You know, I don't know if you know this. Nick Cannon has a lot of kids. What's the matter?
Nothing.
You're holding up a
just
finger.
Pointing at my finger.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to take a beat. No. You know, Nick Cannon has a lot of kids. And just so you know, that's true.
Nick Cannon revealed that he spends up to $200,000 every year taking all 12 of his children to Disneyland. That's how bad condoms feel.
That's true. Take that to the bank. And, Mike, that's all I have for you today.
Hey, we got to take a break. We're taping late at night on Monday night. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael, come here for a second. Guess what we're doing tonight together. There you go. He's all dressed for it. There we go.
Hey, there he is.
Go Big Blue.
Woo!
Go Big Blue. Hey, rah-rah. That's it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. You want to say anything to everybody?
Goodbye, duties.
There you go. Get out of here.
Good
I'll be with you in just a second so we get the pregame warm-up. For Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and Mike Movies McIntosh, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Ciao, ciao.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
My explosions don't work. Bye, everybody.